Aren't you homesick for that place? He's gone and prepared a place for us, the scripture says. Things where eye is not seen and ear is not heard, it's not entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those of us who love Him. Hallelujah. Heaven is far more than anything that we could ever imagine. That great peace, that great presence, that place of just rest, every tear having been wiped away, praise God. And the scripture then says, and so then forever we'll be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Not long for us to be able to experience that great presence of God. Some of us here may go the way of the grave, but I believe that the majority of us are going to see Him come in the clouds, praise God. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, amen? Coming in the clouds. Any day now, any day, we'll be going home. Hallelujah. Can you say this morning that your thoughts are taken up with that? Have we become downcast and laden down with the cares of this world? The weights, the sins, the scripture says, that does so easily beset us. This isn't our home. This life of ours is just a vapor, man. It just passes away like that. Some of us that are getting a little older, 80 years seems like a long time until you look back, doesn't it? And then it's just the other day. I have a bad habit of saying, yeah, just the other day. And Greer says, that was 5 years ago, you know. But it seems like just the other day. But what a great, great gift awaits us. But while we're here, we also have a great gift that's been given us, and I want to talk a little bit about that great gift. Outside of our redemption, the greatest gift we'll ever receive, and that's the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And you know, much of the professed church doesn't know that. Most of the church, the professed church of Jesus Christ, have never known what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And what a great privilege we have, and also what a great responsibility. And we've been seeing lately that the Holy Spirit is far more than just a communion and intimacy through this great prayer language with the Lord. That the baptism and the fullness of the Holy Ghost is the source of the fruit of the Spirit and how we interact with the body of Christ. Without the Holy Ghost, we're not very kind, and we're not very loving, and we're not very patient. Thank God for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, amen? That He's working and developing in our lives. How many of you can sense that as we've been praying for revival and we've been praying for the power of God to manifest, how many of you can sense that just that time of prayer and being in the presence of God, your character is changing? Amen. You're becoming more like Jesus. You might not even be praying about it or asking Father to work in those areas in our life. But when we stay in His presence, we will be like Him, praise God. And the Holy Spirit will begin to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That presence will put down and oppose all of the works of the flesh. You know, many of us want to attack the works of the flesh and try to get rid of those things from our lives. The way to get rid of those is to be more full of the Holy Ghost. And the works of the flesh will lose their power and influence over our lives. And these things will fall off of us. And sometimes we just look around and go, man, where has that gone? You know, that anger that temper, those tendencies to want to vaunt myself, all of these, I haven't noticed that working in me. I've been too caught up loving other people, praise God. Seeking to serve in the body of Christ. Being burdened with lost souls. I've noticed that my prayer time isn't all about me and what I need and what I lack. But I'm praying for the downtrodden, downcast, broken masses of this world. I've been spending time praying for souls, praise God. What a great thing we have in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The greatest contrast, of course, being the contrast in the life of Peter, having cowered down before the world, even to the place of denying the Lord Jesus. Now, many of us, you know, we give Peter a hard time and we say, you know, Peter denied the Lord after having been with him. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. All things that pertain to life and godliness abide in you. And how many times do you betray the Lord and deny him by the way you live and the decisions you make? And so we realize the need to experience what Peter experienced. To keep that boldness and that separation that we call holiness or sanctification working practically in our lives. We need daily the awareness of the power of the Holy Ghost in us, praise God. We need to stir up that gift that's in us that came through the laying on of hands. Many of you can remember like it happened yesterday, the time that hands were laid upon you and you received the Holy Ghost and the transformation that took place in your spirit man. The ability to comprehend the Word of God. The ability to pray in faith and see answers to your prayers that you hadn't previously. That great prayer language that flows through you, that keeps you then refreshed and able to pray by the hour and not the minute. Full of the Holy Ghost. Such great privilege that we have. And we want to talk then about some of the practical workings of the Holy Spirit through us. And the necessity of allowing the Spirit to pray through us with that prayer language, in tongues, praying by the Spirit and the mind of God. The Scripture says, the will of God. The Holy Spirit praying through us, affecting the will of God. How we need that in this hour to know what to pray for. We don't always know what we need to pray for, what's the best decision to make, but the Spirit prays through us, amen, according to the will of God, the Scripture says. I love that passage. We know that Jesus said, if you ask anything according to my will, I will do it. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're praying according to the will of God. Your mind's out of it. Your lusts are out of it. Your fears are out of it. It's pure intercession from the heart and mind of God coming through you according to the will of God. Guaranteed answer to prayer. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said over in Corinthians 14, he said, I thank my God that I pray with tongues more than you all. Amen. Can you say that? That should be something in our lives that we're looking for. Praise God. I pray, I know in the Spirit, I pray probably 3/4 of my prayer time is in the Spirit. And I know you catch yourself. I find myself constantly. If I'm on the road somewhere or driving and all, you know, the Spirit's just praying through you constantly. Amen. You know, when you're not caught up and you're not busy with other things, when it's just you and you're in the, you know, all you're doing is trapped in that automobile and you're going down the road. I hope you're not listening to sports radio. I hope you're not listening to politics. I hope you're not being completely saturated with honky-tonk or whatever else it might be that you like. What a time to redeem, to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Shut all the noise off and get in the presence of God and let God Himself pray through you. Hallelujah. Do you wake up in the morning and you find yourself praying in the Holy Ghost just as you're awoken? You're praying in tongues? Saturated with the presence of God. Awaken in the middle of the night, as I was up at this morning and was awake at 4 o'clock and went back in to lay down and as falling back asleep, man, the visitation of the Holy Ghost and beginning to pray and revelation that is just coming into my spirit. Those times that, you know, that you're on the verge of in and out, some of the best times to hear from God. Amen. What a privilege. Of all of the things that David prayed, and we'll get into the study here in just a moment, but of all of the things that David was praying after his great sin, murdered one of his best friends, stole his wife, committed adultery. And as the prophet put his finger on him and said, "Thou art the man." And he repented and was broken in heart. And in that 51st Psalm, you hear him crying, and the one most desperate cry that came out of his mouth: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That was the cry of his heart. "Cast me not away from thy presence. Lord, I don't care what the consequences of life might be, the circumstances. Just let me know your presence." Amen. And then he finishes that statement with, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Many times over these years, as I've dealt with different spiritual attacks, as long as you know, "Thou art with me." Amen. In the shadow of, valley of the shadow, "Thou art with me." The Holy Spirit confirming with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And so what a need for us. And those of you who have not ever been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, today can be your day, praise God. But equally as important, there's a number of us in here that need to be refilled. And if you need to be refilled, it's because you're not full. Amen? And God wants us to constantly be full of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's a requirement to be able to move in different aspects of ministry. When the deacons were chosen, you can look over at the book of Acts for just a moment, and when they were beginning to organize the church and gifts were being put into place and the elders were becoming too busy because of the growth of the church. And chapter 6 tells us in the book of Acts that the elders said, the apostles said, "It's not good for us to leave the word of God and to serve the tables, to minister to the people's needs. So brethren, look out from among yourselves 7 men of honest report." Look at it. "Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we might appoint to this ministry." We see to carry out any task for the kingdom of God, We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. If you remember from reading in the scriptures, and we find the time of the tabernacle being built, and we find the time of the refurbishing of the temple and these different things, the scripture makes it clear to emphasize that it was the same anointing and the same power of the Holy Ghost that was upon the men that were working all of the different aspects of making the silver sockets and weaving the curtains and all of these different things and preparing the tools and of worship that would adorn the holy place of God. And we realize that it was the same anointing that was upon them that was upon the priests. Can I share something with you? You need the Holy Ghost to serve in the nursery. Because it's not a mundane thing and it's not a secular thing. It is a holy thing unto God. Amen? You need the Holy Ghost to work in DT. You need the Holy Ghost to fulfill any of the acts that we're performing here for the body of Christ and the glory of God. A dependency upon the Holy Spirit. He says in the sixth chapter then, we need these kind of men. And then the scripture tells us that they picked out some of these guys. And it says, and one of them, verse 5, was Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now we're going to see something here that's very unique about him in just a moment. And he goes down and he mentions Philip among these that were chosen. And we're going to look at Philip for just a moment and that great revival that took place in Samaria. I mean, it's one of the great revivals in all of the Word of God. Both of these men, full of the Holy Ghost. Following or preceding the day of Pentecost, these men were as feeble and possibly more so than Peter was before he was full of the Holy Ghost. What a transformation in the lives of each of us that the power of the Holy Spirit makes. A man backed down by a little girl, denying the Lord, swearing that he knew not that man. Later stands with his life on the line, and said, you determine whether it's better to obey God or man. Amen? You're telling us to no longer speak in this name, and we're telling you we cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard, praise God. And their enemies were taken back at this new boldness. And some of us will be taken back when we are truly filled with the Holy Ghost, at the transformation of our lives, our thought processes, our desire to please men and be men pleasers, our liberty from the fear of the faces of men as we stand full of the Holy Ghost to glorify God in our testimony and through the declaration of His Word and the establishing of the kingdom of God. Oh, we need this infilling so desperately. And the scripture tells us then that these that were filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 7, that the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What a great outpouring following that day of Pentecost. That obedience then. The Bible says the Lord gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey Him. Amen? Basically what that's saying is this, I'll give you the Holy Ghost if you'll do with that infilling what I expect you to do. You see, many people want to get filled with the Holy Ghost for the same selfish reasons that other pursuits of the kingdom of God. They want to get filled with the Holy Ghost as a spiritual merit badge. Want to get filled with the Holy Ghost to be able to experience this phenomenon of speaking in other tongues. Want to get filled with the Holy Ghost for the purpose of being able to demonstrate power and miracles. We should want to be filled with the Holy Ghost because Jesus told us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? We should want to be filled with the Holy Ghost because this ministry that follows, it's what's going to bring the glory to God. That without this infilling, it can never be accomplished. And so here's these freshly filled men, full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us. Revivals beginning to break out. They're adding to the church, such as should be saved, the scripture tells us. Disciples being multiplied. And then verse 8 says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You know, we think of Stephen most for his martyrdom, but we got to see that this guy was moving in power. Signs and wonders. You know, signs and wonders are not just healings. Some of these great miracles. I was just reading some yesterday on John G. Lake, and when he opened his Spokane, Washington healing house, they had a house that was open 24 hours a day. People that were sick could just come in, and there were volunteers that were there to lay hands on people. People that were full of the Holy Ghost to pray. Lake himself would spend many hours down there praying. They estimated that in 5 years, 100,000 people were healed in that place. And there were great signs and wonders. It got to the place that the stories that were being told seemed so exaggerated that the Better Business Bureau came to investigate them. And so Lake gave him the names and addresses of everybody that the newspapers had published. Because the local newspaper would print all of these stories. And the word would circulate. Now people from all over the United States were coming out there to this place to be healed. And as the stories got greater, they were thinking, man, we could possibly be bringing a reproach on ourselves, and we're advertising this in the newspaper. So the Better Business Bureau got with the newspaper and they came down and they went and followed up with all these people. And Lake said, I'll do you one better. Not just the names of the people that were published in the newspapers. He said, I'll give you the names of everybody that got healed here. We have a record of it. And go out into the city and check on these people yourself. So they did. And then he said, I'll do you one better. He said, why don't we next Sunday have a gathering and find the best doctors and lawyers and judges and educators and bring them together in a panel. And these people can share and give their testimonies. And you can judge whether or not this is of God and whether these people are telling the truth. So they set that meeting up, and just prior to the meeting, they came back in and they said, you know, we've been investigating this. We've talked to hundreds of people. We don't need that meeting. There's no doubt that God is doing great things. And some of the stories they were hearing were stories like this. One of them they couldn't believe. They went to check out. They went to see this lady's new little baby. This lady had a baby. You think, well, so? It wasn't as great as the immaculate, or not the immaculate, the miraculous conception that Mary had. This baby that was fathered by the Holy Ghost. But it was close, because this woman had a baby after a total Help me. Hysterectomy. I almost said vasectomy, but I knew that wasn't right. That's a special baby. That's a miracle baby. Another woman with the last stages of cancer. Literally drawing her last breaths. God instantly healed her of the cancer. Her breasts were restored. Recreated miraculously. And not only that, as a little bonus, she was born without an earlobe and it came back. I mean, she was made whole, praise God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God's no respecter of persons. There's no reason for that not to be taking place here. We've seen great miracles. We've seen lives spared here. We've seen the miraculous. I mean, when you sit back, we're taking some of these things almost for granted that people have never seen before in God's moving in their midst that we've had happen here. Don't take this stuff for granted. Don't ever let it become common and don't ever let it be small. God has been in our presence and is doing and is going to do great things, praise God. But it's only going to be done in direct correlation to our hunger for the presence of the Holy Ghost. Hungering that visitation of the Spirit of God is so vital in this hour. And I could go on and relate story after story, but the Bible's full of them and so is the history of the church. But here's this man, full of the Holy Ghost, doing signs and wonders, great miracles accomplished. And we stand in amazement at the things that God has done. But there's more to this ministry of this man called Stephen. And as they resisted him, it says, verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. As we're coming into this last hour and we've been experiencing different oppositions and it will become greater. Our enemies are not quiet. They've not ceased. They're still creeping around in dark places with their lies and their manipulations. Any way possible to try to discredit the glory of God in this place. They're not fighting against men. This is the same story of Cain and Abel. They hate us and want to murder us because God has accepted our life and our sacrifice as we've presented our bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. And they're not able to do that. They're not able to offer their lives. They're not able to offer their children's lives. And because of that, they hate us. And that's always been the core of that murdering spirit in the church. And it hasn't ceased. And because of that, many of you are going to continue to face oppositions. Some of the next great opposition we're going to get here as a fellowship is going to have to do with women's rights and homosexual rights. The fact is, the women's movement is satanic. It is in direct affront to the order of the church. It defies the judgment of God placed upon woman at the garden and following the sin that said she would be under and serve her husband. Anything to defy God, anything to worship the creature. And people, men go to work right now and men are walking the streets and they're almost afraid to say something that's contrary to the political stance of this day. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest responsibilities that we have, God chose Abraham because he would not compromise the word of God, the order of God, the power of God, the presence of God with his children or his children's children, praise God. We make no excuses for how we discipline our children. We make no excuses for the order of our homes. We make no excuses for recognizing and pointing out the sin of homosexuality and all of this foolishness of transgender and multigender thought processes. It's an affront to the name of Jesus. Oh, we love these people. We'll share with them the gospel. We'll gladly encourage them with the fact that they're on their way to hell and need to be delivered. But I want to tell you something. It's not very far down the road until there's going to be a gag order on the name of Jesus. There's going to be a gag order on these particular topics to where you can't push your belief off on them. And I want to tell you something, beloved. We need to realize that they're going to come against us and think they're doing God's service, is what the Bible says. What are we going to do about it? This says that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. And that these people could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. As he declared the kingdom of God, the redemption in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, help us to stand in this hour. And so we realize that this is part of what being full of the Holy Ghost is. It is not just a prayer closet experience. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is more than a prayer closet experience. It is preparation for the front lines, praise God. Holy Ghost filled people are the special services of the church. They're the Green Beret. They're the Navy SEALs. They're the Rangers. In the trenches. Casting out devils, praise God. Healing the sick. Proclaiming this word at any cost. And if that's not what we're doing, then it's no wonder we're not aware of his presence and having his visitation in our lives as we would desire. He gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey him. And so Stephen then moving in that power, and it's the scripture, of course, as we read, makes it very clear the opposition that took place in his life. You read on in this chapter and you get down to verse 52. He says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They've slain them which showed before the coming of the just one. And now you have become betrayers and murderers. There's nothing mealy mouth about people full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll speak the truth in love. And beloved, very few people want to hear the truth. Especially about themselves. And their loved ones. And how we need to allow this cleansing of heart and mind. And it says, verse 54, when they heard these sayings, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Verse 55, next time you get attacked by people gnashing on you with their teeth, you better be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Look at verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost. Only Spirit-filled people, when they're under attack, can look into heaven and see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Only people full of the Holy Ghost can, verse 60, kneel down and cry out with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You can't forgive your enemies without the Holy Ghost living in you. You can't love the unlovely without the Holy Ghost filling you, every part of your being. Do you see now why Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and tarry and wait for the promise? Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? That's not for you to know. I am going to bring the kingdom, but not as you imagined it. But you can't see the kingdom, listen, you can't see the kingdom manifest in power until you're full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if I cast out these devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you. Amen? The establishing of the kingdom of God is done through a Holy Ghost-filled church as we do the things that He did and greater things than those the Scripture says shall we do. Because He's gone back to the Father and makes intercession for us. You can go on in the story here and flow right into chapter 8. And see the great revival that takes place in Samaria. This other deacon you look back at the ministry of Jesus and we see Him anointing the 12 and they went out and healed the sick and preached the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, the Scripture says. And Jesus was working in their lives. Great manifestations. Many people have said over the years, well, you know, that's because they were the original 12, the apostles. But the Scripture goes right on in the next chapter and says, and then He sent out another 70. And they worked these same signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Not even people full of the Holy Ghost yet. Obeying the commission that had been laid to their charge. Go and in My name you shall. Amen. He confirms that later in Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe in My name. As Spirit-filled believers this morning, we should be healing the sick and casting out devils and raising the dead, praise God. They came back rejoicing that the devils were subject to them. Jesus said, as they were ministering so effectively, Jesus said, looking into the spirit realm, I saw Satan fall as lightning. And they're rejoicing that devils are subject to Him. And He said, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice rather in this, that your names are written in heaven, praise God. Don't rejoice alone in the works. Rejoice in the relationship. That communion. The Holy Spirit spoke to me the other day as I was in prayer and He said, do you really see Me as your friend? Do you relate to Me like other friends? First of all, are you aware of my personhood? You know, we forget many times that God's a person. I like what I was reading. Somebody the other day made a comment that I thought was very good, talking about the will of God and self-will. And he said, one of the things that will help you put self-will down is to really come to the understanding that God himself has a will. We think of God's will as something nebulous, like something that is a verb, and it's a noun. It's a thing. It's God has a will. You don't want your will opposing his will. God's willpower is greater than yours. God's willpower is infinite. God's willpower is omnipotent. What God wills will be done. Amen? So subordinate. At worst, say, Lord, I got an idea. But never set a course. Amen? All we do is seek His will. Not my will. Thy will be done. I came to fulfill the will of He that sent me and to finish the work. Isn't that what Jesus said? It'll really help you if you begin to think of it in that simplicity. The will of God is not just a stated revelation. The will of God is a being, a person, Almighty God, having in His heart, with full understanding and full passion, a desire for this to be done. Why would we oppose that? I mean, really, how smart is that? Well, Lord, I have a better idea. If that's not a jarhead statement, I don't know what is. You know, when you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're praying according to the will of God, that diminishes self-will. It brings a peace of God's edification and purification working in your life, an awareness that God is your friend. I'm not out here just somewhere in this spirit realm as your God. I'm a person. I'm here to talk to. Acknowledge me. I'm standing right here. Acknowledge me. Put your cell phone down and acknowledge me. You know, tragically today, many of us around our friends and our family and our spouses, they're there with us and we're on this stupid thing and not even acknowledging them. We're caught up all over the world on everything from sports scores to Pinterest to news flashes to dear Lord, we got our hooked up to our security system and it buzzes because a squirrel just ran by the motion detector. And what are we doing with all of this stuff? Be still and know that I'm God. The Holy Ghost in there wanting to speak to you. Paul said it very clearly. We do not serve dumb idols. That's not talking about all that stupid idol. It's dumb meaning the inability to speak. Our God speaks. Are we listening? What's the Holy Ghost saying to you at this moment? The Holy Ghost may be desiring to change your plans that you've already set for this afternoon, and you already know what you're doing. You don't know what the Holy Ghost wants you to do this afternoon. He may want to move on you and send you to Joppa, to Simon's house. The Holy Ghost might want to catch you away from Samaria and take you to one soul in the desert and minister to them. We need to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church today. Praise God. How many people do we miss ministering to because of the noise around us? Men full of the Holy Ghost. And so we see then how vital this is. We'll come back to Philip in just a moment, but look at Acts chapter 1 since we're here in the passage that we're all very familiar with. And I quoted it just a little bit earlier, but he's talking to them and saying that he's not going to restore the kingdom in the way that they had perceived. And he says in verse 8 then, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so as we look at that and we meditate upon it, go and tarry. Wait for the promise. We'll look at Joel's prophecy in just a moment. But I think we'll end with this part for this morning, something that you need to think about. Everything that Jesus accomplished in his ministry was accomplished because he was full of the Holy Ghost. If Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, do you need the Holy Ghost? It was by the power of the Holy Ghost that he slipped away in the middle of the night to pray when everybody else was sleeping. It was by the power of the Holy Ghost that he worked the miracles. And we shared it numerous times. Nothing that Jesus did in his earthly ministry that affects redemption and affects the establishing of the kingdom of God was done through his divinity. He did it as a Holy Ghost-filled man. And so it's for you and I to understand then that when he says, the things that I did shall you do, and greater things than these shall you do because I go to the Father. That statement is a statement of fact. It is a statement that is not some type of terms out of my mind right now. Symbol. It's not symbolic. It's literal. We see the prophecies given to Jesus. Isaiah chapter 11. If you want to write some of these down and take a look at them a little bit later, but in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And so here's this prophetic statement concerning the earthly ministry of Jesus. what's going to take place in his life after the incarnation. Mary, having conceived of the Holy Ghost, the prophets continued to speak, and it says in Isaiah 42, verse 1, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth justice to the Gentiles." From before the foundations of the world, God having prepared this vessel in his hometown of Nazareth, as he stood before them in the synagogue and he stood to speak, and they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, and he unrolled that scroll. Isaiah is a big scroll, 61 chapters that he went through to get to this passage. Can you imagine unrolling that? At least it didn't beep during, you know. So he gets to chapter 61, and he found, the Bible says, and he found the place where it was written. See, he didn't just arbitrarily read what was there. He found the place where it was written. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he shall send me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim the liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them which are bound. And he came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He goes on and he finishes this passage. And then it says, "And he sat down and said, this day has this scripture been fulfilled in your ears." I am the anointed of God. I am the one that's been filled and full of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him." So we see Jesus following that baptism, visited by the Holy Spirit. The scripture is clear that it was an infilling without measure. It couldn't be exhausted. Fullness that never waned. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 32, as the Apostle John speaking, it says, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Confirmed in Acts 10:38, as the scripture says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How can we get by a day without the awareness of the Holy Spirit? How can we make it through a day without praying in tongues at least an hour? Some of our young men among us that are fighting with their flesh and their manhood and many of these things that are common at times like this. This is no time to miss out on what the Holy Spirit has available to you. Your victory is in praying in the Holy Ghost. Your victory is in a Spirit-filled life, praise God. Your satisfaction will not be met by anything this world offers, but by the knowledge of God's indwelling Spirit praying through you with utterances that cannot be uttered. You don't know what you need. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't know how messed up you are. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't know how lame some of your decisions are. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't know how haughty some of our ambitions are. Pray in the Holy Ghost, praise God, who prays according to the will of God. How vital it is for us to seek that great gift. Come tonight believing to be filled or to be refilled. Amen. Come tonight as we gather together, believing for the Holy Ghost to come into this place and visit us. Praise God. What an opportunity to experience that great rushing mighty wind in this place, to have this place shaken as it was on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't just Pentecost. The scripture says as they had been persecuted later and they had gathered together rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for His sake. And as they were seeking God and asking for grace to go out and represent Him more effectively. The scripture tells us in Acts 5 that the Holy Ghost came and filled them and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And they cried out, Jesus, stretch forth your hand and heal. Can we come with an expectation? Can we come looking for that visitation? Could this be the moment? Could this be the spark that ignites what we're believing God for? Is your life Holy Ghost led? Is there a sensitivity that lets you change course in a moment? Is there biblical revelation? Is there angelic visitation? Are there dreams and visions that are taking place that we can hear God speaking to us? You can't hear God without the Holy Ghost. In this kingdom, He's the conduit. Father, we ask You in the name of Jesus to open our eyes to the fact that we have not given the Holy Spirit due respect in the kingdom of God. That we've not been sensitive and listened to that great voice. The world, John says, could not receive the Spirit of truth because they didn't know Him. They couldn't receive Him because they couldn't see Him. They didn't know Him. But the scripture goes on and says, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you, praise God. We know what a lot of people don't know, that only comes by revelation of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come and manifest Your great power in our midst. You've sent forth Your Spirit into our hearts to cry, Abba, Father. Give us that sensitivity. Help us to hear. Lead us, Holy Spirit, into all truth and show us things to come. If ever there's an hour where for our own safety we need to see what's coming on us, this is the day. Give us eyes to be able to see and discern the hour that we're in, what's coming. Father, so often people look at us that see and think we're mad. They think we're exaggerating. They think we're moving in fear. They think so many other things than the reality that our God speaks and forewarns us and prepares us. You've said, Lord, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we ask for that leading this morning. Lead us back here tonight with expectation. Lead us into the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Come and visit us and be glorified in our midst. And for that, we'll give you all the praise, Father, and we'll give you all of the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. For your glory. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm coming back for the promise tonight. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Go in peace. God's love go with you.